Well, hello everyone, and greetings in the precious name of my Lord and my Savior, Jesus Christ. Again, this is your voice of the gospel speaker, Minor Hawk, coming into your homes, institutions, and automobiles with another Christ-honoring program called The Voice of the Gospel. And I thank God today for having extended His day of grace so that we might have this opportunity to tell forth the wonders of His love, mercy, and grace expressed in the death of His Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. Friend, I want you to know at the outset of this broadcast today that God loves you. Yes, God is love. It's the very character of God. And friend, I want you to know too that if you don't accept the love of God, then the alternative is you'll have to endure the wrath of God. I read in John 3 and verse 36 that he that believeth on the Son hath everlasting life. And he that believeth not the Son shall not see life, but the wrath of God abideth on him. Now, we'll open up the broadcast today with a very lovely tune that I'm sure is well known to all of you listening in, and it's entitled, Amazing Grace.
Amazing Grace, how sweet the sound that made a wreck like me. I once was lost, but now am found. Was blind, but now I see. Was grace that caused my heart to fear, and grace my fears relieved. How precious is that grace appear, the hour I first believed. When we bright shining as the sun, with no less day to sing God's praise than when we first begun. His grace will lead me home.
Well, friends, I, for one, can surely appreciate the amazing grace of God expressed in the death of His Son. Yes, before June the 2nd of 1952, I was a religious, self-righteous individual going down the broad road to the pit. But I thank God that where sin abounded, grace did much more abound. And even though the law was given by Moses, grace and truth came by Jesus Christ. And all over the world today, there are faithful servants of God telling forth the wonders of His grace, expressed in the precious blood of Christ. Let us pray. Father, we bow in Thy presence today to thank Thee again for Thy beloved Son. We thank Thee, our God, that all Thy love and Thy mercy and Thy grace have been expressed in the death of Thy Son at Calvary's cross. We thank Thee, our God, that this is still the day of grace, and pray Thy blessing upon Thy word wherever Christ is being preached. Wherever there's a faithful servant of Thine in fellowship with Thee, telling forth the wonders of Thy grace, may it please Thee, our God, to bear Thine arm in the salvation of precious souls. Thy word hath declared that the grace of God that bringeth salvation hath appeared to all men. May it appear to some who are listening in today who are yet outside of Christ. Pluck them as brands from the burning, and we'll be careful to give Thee all the thanksgiving and praise, for we ask it in the name of Thy Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Now then, today I'd like to draw your attention to a verse of Scripture that we find in the New Testament book of Hebrews. Hebrews chapter 9. Hebrews chapter 9, and I'll read in your hearing verse 22. Hebrews 9 and verse 22. And almost all things are by the law purged with blood. And without the shedding of blood, there is no remission. And without the shedding of blood, there is no remission. And the Lord will bless to us the public reading of His Word. Now, friends, today I want to look into the New Testament and see what God has to say concerning the shedding of blood. In our text for today, we read these words which should indeed cause everyone to stop and pay attention. Without the shedding of blood, there is no remission for sin. So you see, my friend, the New Testament continues to bring before us the necessity of shedding precious blood. Now, with the help of the Holy Spirit of God, and as revealed in God's Word, I'd like to tell you why the blood of Jesus Christ, God's Lamb, is precious to every blood-bought child of God. And in so doing, I trust that if there are any listening in today who are not sheltered by the shed blood of Christ, that you would flee by faith to Calvary's cross, and there behold the Lamb of God bearing away your sin in His own body on the tree. Now, the first fact that I bring before you today concerning the blood of Jesus Christ is the fact that we are redeemed by it. Yes, we're redeemed by the blood of Christ. In 1 Peter chapter 1 and verse 18 we read, "For as much as ye know that ye were not redeemed by corruptible things as silver and gold, but with the precious blood of Christ, as of a lamb without blemish and without spot." You know, my friend, the word of redemption means to buy back. And that's just what the Son of God did when He died on Calvary's cruel cross. When Adam fell in the Garden of Eden, he was separated from God by his sin. And it wasn't until blood was shed that fellowship was restored. You recall in Genesis 3 and 21 we read that after God found Adam and Eve and all their sin and all their nakedness, we're told that unto Adam also and to his wife did the Lord God make coats of skin and clothe them. So there God set the pattern, the principle, and the precept to be followed throughout the entire Word of God, that without the shedding of blood, there's no remission for sin. And so it is with you who are outside of Christ today. Your sins and iniquities have separated between you and God. A holy and a righteous God cannot look upon sin. And so a separation exists, but can only be remedied by the precious blood of God's Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. In Ephesians chapter 2 and verse 12 we read, concerning those who are unsaved, that they're without Christ, they're aliens from the commonwealth of Israel, they're strangers to the covenants of promise, having no hope, and without God in the world. And yet we're told in verse 13, "But now in Christ Jesus, ye who sometimes were afar off are made nigh," how? "By the blood of Christ." So here again we have the Word of God that tells us that if we are unsaved and unredeemed, we can only be brought back and bought back into a new and proper relationship with Almighty God through the blood of His Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, friends, I believe it is highly significant that God tells us that we cannot be redeemed by silver and gold. You know, there are many people today, and perhaps there are some listening in today, who honestly believe that they can be assured of being redeemed by their giving to the church of their choice. Every once in a while, I read in the newspaper where some wealthy person dies and leaves the bulk of their fortune to several different churches, all of which are doctrinally opposed to each other. Still others may sincerely tithe and give liberally to the work of their particular faith, and yet know nothing about the truth of being born again by the Holy Spirit of God from above. Listen, friend, God's salvation is not for sale. It's absolutely free, without money, and without price. But the fact remains, if you ever expect that soul of yours to be in heaven, it must be redeemed by the precious blood of Jesus Christ. You must take your place as a lost, guilty, and hell-deserving sinner, then by faith alone, apply the blood of Jesus Christ to that sin-sick soul of yours. Friend, without the shedding of blood, there's absolutely no remission for sin. Now, not only does the blood of Jesus Christ redeem one's soul, but it also guarantees justification. In Romans chapter 3, verses 24 and 25, we read, "Being justified freely by His grace, through the redemption that is in Christ Jesus, whom God hath set forth to be a propitiation through faith in His blood." And in Romans 5, 8, and 9, God says, "But God commandeth His love towards us, in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. Much more then, being now justified by His blood, we shall be saved from wrath through Him." Now someone might be asking, "Well, why should I be justified?" Friend, let's get the answer from God. You need to be justified because you're a sinner in the sight of a thrice holy God. In Romans 3, and at the end of verse 22 and verse 23, God says that there's no difference, for all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. Yes, a man is born in sin, and he lives in sin. But friend, if he dies in sin, and unjustified, you can be sure he'll go down to a lost sinner's hell. But if he acknowledges his guilt before God, and accepts by faith the Lord Jesus Christ as his own and personal Savior, he will be justified in the sight of God as though he had never sinned at all. My, isn't it wonderful, dear child of God listening in, to know that we who were once strangers to grace and to God, we are now accepted in the Beloved, in whom we have redemption through his blood and the forgiveness of sins, and it's all according to the riches of God's marvelous, matchless, electing grace. Yes, we stand before our Father God, clothed in the garments of salvation, and our sins and iniquities are as though they had never existed. And all because of our faith in the blood of Jesus Christ, God's Son. Yes, we who are saved know the truth of God's Word, which tells us that without the shedding of blood, there is absolutely no remission for sin. Now, still another reason why the blood is so precious is because it is the cleansing agent. In 1 John chapter 1 and verse 7, God tells us that the blood of Jesus Christ, His Son, cleanseth us from all sin. And back in the book of Revelation chapter 1 and verse 5, we read the salutation of John when he exalts Jesus Christ with these words, "Unto him that loved us and washed us from our sins in his own blood." Now, I don't doubt, but there are many listening in today who believe that they've been made fit for heaven by water baptism. And if I were to ask them upon what they were depending for eternal life in the presence of God, they would no doubt say, "My baptism as a child, or when I joined the church." To you, my friend, I say, in love for your soul, that such a belief is not substantiated by the Word of God. Nowhere, from Genesis 1 to Revelation chapter 22, do we read that baptism, or any other ritual for that matter, will guarantee you a seat at the marriage supper of the Lamb. No, I believe that anyone who preaches such a devil-inspired doctrine will soon languish in the flames of an eternal hell. And furthermore, anyone who has been the victim of such delusion will be right along with him. So friend, why not search the scriptures for yourself? God gave you a mind of your own. So why listen to what someone else has told you? Open your Bible and read Hebrews 9 and 22, where God, not man, but God says that without the shedding of blood, there is absolutely no remission for sin. Friend, I believe that there are millions of souls in hell today who didn't take the time to listen to God. They went on in their ignorance and rebellion, and it led them to the pit of eternal torment. So I beg of you, while God's grace prevails, that you read the Bible and listen to God tell you of man's ruin by sin and God's remedy through the shed blood alone of Jesus Christ, His Son. Now then, I want to point out one more fact concerning that verse in 1 John 1 and 7, and that is the fact that the blood of Jesus Christ, God's Son, cleanseth us from all sin. Not just one or two sins, but all sin. Regardless of how big a sinner you are, the blood of Jesus Christ can make you as white as snow. For we're told over there in Isaiah 1 and 18 where God says, "Come now, let us reason together, saith the Lord. Though your sins be as scarlet, they shall be as white as snow. Though they be red like crimson, they shall be as wool." Ah, listen, my friend. God is indeed a loving and merciful God. He's willing to take the blackest heart, dip it into the blood of Jesus Christ, and make the vilest sinner fit for his presence in heaven. But remember, without the shedding of blood, there's no remission for sin. So why not place your trust in that shed blood as your only hope for God's heaven? Yes, thank God that His salvation can save from the guttermost to the uttermost. Now, still another reason why the blood of Jesus Christ is so precious is the fact that it brings peace to the soul. In Romans 5 and verses 1 and 2 we read, "Therefore, being justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ, by whom also we have access by faith into His grace, wherein we stand and rejoice in hope of the glory of God." And over in Colossians chapter 1 and verse 20 we read, "And having made peace through the blood of His cross, by Him to reconcile all things unto Himself." Now to you who are really born again today, tell me, can anything compare with the peace of mind, the peace of body and soul which you experienced when you accepted Jesus Christ as your Savior. Is there, my friend? Can you remember the joy and peace which filled your soul at the knowledge of sins forgiven? Yes, I'm sure you can, and it was all made possible through faith in the blood of Jesus Christ. Ah, but my friend, the peace we have here on earth can in no way compare with the peace that we shall have when we die or when the Lord comes. It will far surpass all our earthly joys because we'll be in the eternal presence of Him who loved us and washed us from our sins in His own most precious blood. Now, friends, I wish I had time to dwell upon the book of Hebrews, for there's more said in Hebrews about the blood than in any other book of the Bible. And you know, my friend, the peace that a Christian enjoyed with God is one of sweet communion and fellowship, but it was all brought about by the blood of Jesus Christ. In Hebrews 10 and verse 19 we read, "Having therefore, brethren, boldness to enter into the holiest by the blood of Jesus." Yes, we have access to God through blood, and that access brings peace of mind, body, and soul. But friend, if you've never applied the blood, where is your peace? Where is your hope? Can you as an individual afford to ignore the subject of blood? If you do, how are you going to be saved? What is your answer to Hebrews 9 and 22? Without the shedding of blood, there's no remission. Friend, if you hear the gospel today and then reject it, what is your hope? Tell me, friend, how shall you escape if you neglect so great a salvation? Now, I can't help but think of the countless millions who are even now trampling underfoot the blood of Jesus Christ. They have no time for God and His great plan of redemption. They have no time for thoughts about eternity. They only have time for sin, sin, and more sin. Yes, they are fast asleep in the cradle of time, little realizing that when that cradle stops, the bottom falls out, and they plunge into the place that Jesus Christ called hell. Do I hear someone say that you don't believe in hell? You don't believe that a loving God would cast His creatures into a lake of fire? Well, friend, that's nothing but wishful thinking on your part, for the same authority we have for the existence of a heaven is also the same and only authority we have for the existence of a hell. Did not God drown all but 8 people in the great flood? Did not God rain fire and brimstone down upon the cities of the plain, Sodom and Gomorrah? And did not God part with His only begotten Son and let Him suffer the agonizing, shameful, and cursed death of the cross for sinners such as you and I, though He Himself knew no sin? Then tell me, friend, what makes you believe that God would not cast your soul into hell for neglecting His offer of love and mercy and grace through the blood of Jesus Christ? God clearly tells us in John 3 and verse 36 that he that believeth on the Son hath everlasting life, and he that believeth not the Son shall not see life, but the wrath of God abideth on him. So, friend, you can call it a gory gospel or butcher shop religion if you wish. The fact still remains that without the shedding of blood, there is no remission for sin. Now, again, I'd like to ask those people who believe in the Bible, yet try to ignore the doctrine of blood, what are you going to do with Hebrews 9 and 22, which says that without the shedding of blood, there's no remission? I believe I can scripturally say that from the time that Adam fell in the Garden of Eden down to the present day, there has never been a soul saved apart from the shedding of blood. Listen, when a person accepts Christ as their Savior and are washed in His blood of redemption, their body and soul become the dwelling place of the Holy Spirit of God, but only after the soul has been cleansed by the blood of the Lamb, the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, if there's one thing that virtually nauseates me as I listen to the radio, it is to hear these modern so-called Christian hymns which have taken the beautiful songs of Zion and have brought them down to the level of jungle jive. Yes, and the level of rock and roll. Still other popular so-called hymns sing of the goodness of God and not one mention of His eternal wrath. These modern renditions of sacred music do nothing but arouse the sensuality of an already wicked heart. How many ever mention the death of Jesus Christ and the shedding of His own blood? Very few, if any. The hymns I like to hear, my friend, are those such as written by Charlotte Elliot, "Just as I am without one plea, but that thy blood was shed for me." And another beautiful hymn goes like this, There is a fountain filled with blood drawn from Emmanuel's veins, and sinners plunged beneath that flood lose all their guilty stains. And still another hymn with a meaning is the one by Elisha Hoffman. Have you been to Jesus for the cleansing power? Are you washed in the blood of the Lamb? Are you fully trusting in His grace this hour? Are you washed in the blood of the Lamb? And sinner friend, let me ask you today, are you washed in the blood of the Lamb? Has there ever been a time in your life when you saw your need for a Savior? Have you experienced the conviction of sin? Has there ever been a time when, a place where, and a manner how, you experienced the new birth? Have you, my friend, by faith, ever acknowledged that Jesus Christ died on the cross for your sins? Tell me, friend, tell me, what are you depending upon to take you into God's heaven? Is it good work? Then you'll be in hell. If you're depending upon baptism, confirmation, and dedication, or some other religious ritual to take you to heaven, you'll be in hell. If you're depending upon church membership, or religious activities, or community-mindedness, or things like that, to take you into God's heaven, my friend, I tell you, in love for your soul, you're going to be in hell. Now, I realize that these are strong words, but friend, listen. This is the word of God for which I make absolutely no apology. I read in Ephesians 2, 8, and 9, for by grace are ye saved through faith, and that not of yourself, it is the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. In Titus 3 and 5 we read, not by works of righteousness which we have done, but according to God's mercy, He saved us. Friend, your soul's eternal destiny is at stake today, and I don't want to see you lose that soul in a lost sinner's hell. God's word clearly states without the shedding of blood, there's no remission for sin. And I can honestly say before God today, the only thing I'm depending upon to take me into heaven is the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. Not, my friend, because I'm living a good, clean life. Not, my friend, because I belong to a so-called church. Not because I'm preaching the gospel on the air. Oh, friend, the only thing I'm depending upon is the blood of Jesus Christ, His Son, which cleanseth me from all sin. So, friend, why not admit before God today that you're a sinner deserving of hell, that you can't do a thing to save your own soul, and then, my friend, look by faith to Calvary's cross, and there see the Lord Jesus Christ, God's Son, dying in your guilty room and in your stead. You know, over there in Acts chapter 16, we have the expression there in verse 30, made by the Philippian jailer. He said to Paul and Silas, sirs, what must I do to be saved? Well, friend, the answer he got that day is just as valid today. Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and thou shalt be saved, and thy house. So, friend, why not believe on the Lord Jesus Christ right now? Know the joy of sins forgiven and life eternal. And, friend, according to God which cannot lie, you'll be saved for time. And thank God you'll be saved for all eternity. And remember, my friend, this is for eternity. Yes, this is for eternity. Let us pray. Our God and our Father, we bow in thy presence again at the close of another radio message to thank thee for thy beloved Son. Father, we thank thee for all the value and the virtue of his shed blood at Calvary's cross. We thank thee, our God, that at the end of those hours of suffering, he said, it is finished. He completed the work that thou didst give him to do, and thou didst express thine satisfaction with that work by raising him from the dead. Time and again thy word declares that this man, after he'd offered one sacrifice for sin forever, sat down at the right hand of the throne of God. Father, we thank thee for the exalted position of thy beloved Son, and we ask thy blessing upon thy word that has just gone forth. Save souls to his honor and glory alone. Amen.
Softly and tenderly Jesus is calling, calling for you and for me. On the portals, he's waiting and watching, watching for you and for me. Come home, come home. You are weary, come home. Earthly, tender, Jesus is calling, calling. has mercy and pardon. Pardon for you and for me. Come home, come home. You are weary, come home. Earnestly, tenderly, Jesus is calling, calling, oh sinner, come home.
Well, friends, you've heard the gospel today. Anyone listening in who has never accepted Jesus Christ as your Savior, friend, if you die in that lost, rebellious spiritual condition and end up in hell, you'll never be able to blame anyone but yourself. God has allowed you to hear the gospel, and the Spirit of God, through His Word, has been bringing before you your need of Christ. And even in the song we've just been listening to, we hear those words how Jesus Christ is calling you. Yes, my friend, I think of how He calls us in Matthew 11:28. Come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Well, friends, this concludes another Voice of the Gospel broadcast. If I can be of any further help in pointing you to the Lord Jesus Christ, I'll be only too happy to do so. Address all letters of inquiry to the Voice of the Gospel, Post Office Box Number 6, McKeesport, Pennsylvania, 15134. That address again, the Voice of the Gospel, P.O. Box 6, McKeesport, P.A., 15134. And now until our next broadcast, Lord willing, this is your Voice of the Gospel speaker, Minor Hawk, wishing you and yours God's very richest blessing, which is salvation through faith in the precious blood of Jesus Christ. Good day.